One thing about this church, you know, you go to church at some time and they say, well, if it ain't in the red hymnal, we ain't singing it. Then I talked to a guy, he said, well, we threw all our red hymnals in the dumpster. I think we bought about 200. You know, the question about your music, be careful. Well, Jesus don't like that. He's talking about him. And I thought about that song, I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
And I like what these young people did.
Yes.
And I like that old Come Angel band. Last time I heard that song, me and my mama was singing it, and I think I might have been a teenager. That's how long ago it was. You got your Bible, Mark chapter number 2. Title of the message this morning is Tearing the Roof Off, and I'll try to move as quickly as I can. We're not going to keep you here too long. But during the summer, we've not having service on Sunday night until Awana starts back. Awana is starting back in September. I know school starts back next week or the week after. We'll be getting back to Awana, and then we'll have a Bible study. Remind you, we are having a youth service on every first and third Wednesday, and then we have a Bible study and a prayer meeting the others. We'd like for you to come and be a part of that before I read the Scripture. Youth service is Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night, Brother Tom Payne is going to start a Bible study on the history of the Christian movement and the history of the Baptist denomination as it is. It's very interesting, and we're excited about that. And that may be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on how much time. We'd like for you to be praying for him. If you can, come and be with us. But in Mark chapter number 2, we want to start reading the Scripture. You're going to read 12 verses, and I'll try to share just some thoughts with you. Speaking of Jesus, it says, again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now when we're looking at the Word of God, and we've talked about this before, we can look at the Word of God, and there's a historical element or a teaching, and then there is a doctrinal element or teaching. Then there is the spiritual or practical application of the Scriptures. And the first thing I want to do, let's just walk through this Scripture for just a minute, and let's look and see exactly what is happening and what is going on. If you look at it historically, it happened in about AD 27, just like that it is written here. The Scripture says that Jesus, he is coming into the Capernaum, and word is spreading that he is there. People are talking about what's happening. And I'll say this, I want people to talk about what's happening at Hiram First Baptist Church. I don't want it to be because of you or because of me, but we want it to be because of Him. Now, if we're going to have that happen, we ourselves have to be doing what God wants us to do, okay? But understand that He was in Capernaum, word had spread, and people were talking about it. And then the scripture says that straightway or immediately they gathered where Jesus was. So much so that there was not enough room in the house. You see, the seats were full, the walls were lined, the doors were blocked. People were looking in the windows. People were excited because Jesus was in the house. Now, some of you can remember revival services like that when you'd go and there wasn't any place. Can you remember when they used to get the chairs out and they'd line one side? I mean, I can remember actually being in services where they'd be lined up down the walls. They had to stand up. I can remember times, and of course, this goes back a ways, but they'd raise the window and people would be looking in. People would stand at the back door. I had a preacher friend of mine tell me about going to a place up near Murphy, North Carolina, where he was called to preach. He said, when I got there were so many people at this little church, they were not going to let me in the door. He said, I walked up and I went to kind of weave through them, and a guy grabbed me by the shirt. He said, where are you going? He said, we've been waiting out here for a while to get in. You're not just going to walk past us. Well, you know, that's wanting to be in the house. He said, I'm the preacher. They're expecting me to preach up there in just a few minutes. And then, of course, they said, make way. And they started making a way for him to go in. But you know, how long has it been since we've seen that? You know, John 14:6 tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. We ought to get excited because Jesus is in the house. Amen. And I heard Larry Brown saying, folks, this is what our heart's desire ought to be. When people find out they can get help at your church, you won't be able to build it big enough. We're not going to build it big enough and have this prestigious attitude. I know a preacher not far from here that said this. He said this to his youth director. He said, I want you to get over to the high school. And he said, I want you to get them jocks over here. He said, we want the popular people here. I tell you who we want here. We want people who need help from God. And when we get particular about who comes in the door, I tell you, God's going to get particular about what goes on in the house. My wife said to me, she was over at school one day and a woman come to her. She said, I found some people that would fit in at your church. She said, they wouldn't fit in at my church. And they've tried this church over there. And I want to tell you something, folks, that's not something to be ashamed of. We thank God for that testimony. Because the problem in a lot of churches today is they're judging who's coming in the door so fast. People can't get help from God because they can't get to where God's at. I didn't know all this was coming. I'll have to hurry. Jesus was in the house, and there were so many people that wanted to be in the house that they couldn't even get in the door. But more were coming. More were coming. And there was a man that was in such a shape, if you look at the third verse, a man with palsy, that he had to be carried by four people. Now, I don't know if he was in a chair, if he was on a lair, but, you know, he had to be carried. He could not come by himself. You see, palsy is paralysis. It is a condition marked by uncontrolled tremors of the body or a part of the body. It's the loss of the ability to move. It is a state of powerlessness or incapacity to act. If you've ever known somebody that wants to do and can't do that, and you know some of you have been there, that's a miserable condition to be in. You know, there are people that want to be in church that can't. There are people when we have a work day here, and I know it's hard for some of you to believe, but when they can't come, it bothers them, Brother Tommy. They want to come. This man, he just wanted to get to where Jesus was at because he knew that if he could, he'd get help. You see, Jesus was in the house. This one man was carried by four. If you look at the fourth verse, they could not get to where Jesus was. because of the press or because of the crowd. Now, there's a good part of this. There's also something we have to consider that might be the bad part. You see, but the crowd was so big, nobody else could get in the building. You know, some people, they get on a building program just because they want to build a big fancy building. If we want to have a building program, folks, we want it to be because we're building a place where people can get help. We didn't buy property so we could go around bragging about it, so we could think it's something to us. We're doing it for the honor and glory of God, to lift Him up.
Amen.
But you know, sometimes people can't see Jesus because something is in the way. I heard a story one time of a little boy, a true story. He said he went to church with his grandpa and his grandma, and one day he said they went and the preacher wasn't there, and there's a picture of Jesus up on the wall. And he said, "Grandpa, who's that?" He said, "Well, that's Jesus, son." He said, "Well, I never saw him before because the preacher was always standing in the way." Wow. Now think about that for just a minute. When we come to the house of God, are we leading them to Jesus or are we getting in the way?
Right.
See, the crowd was big and they couldn't get in the door. Maybe they met one of those guys like that preacher friend of mine. "You're not getting in there. I've been waiting out here for an hour." They didn't stop. Now they got up on the roof and they began to break open the roof. They tore a hole in the roof and they let this man down who was sick by four ropes. Now, folks, here's what I want you to understand. This was work. This was work. Now, sometimes what you do for the Lord, it requires work. There was some work. There's been some work going on around here. There's been some work, and I want to tell you, God will honor it, where people are getting ready to go on a mission trip. You know, I don't have a problem at all. I'll just say this. I'm proud of y'all that are going. I don't have a problem at all supporting somebody who wants to go on a mission trip when they're working and they're serving and they're doing what God wants them to do. You know, some people come along, it's like going to a football game. You score a touchdown, everybody runs to the end zone and they want to cheer. But you got to get out there and you got to sweat. And you got to work. And you got to put forth the effort. Now here we are, four of them. They laid him down. They had to tear the roof off. And they, folks, they were going to have to fix that roof back. I don't know if y'all realize that. It was work. If you look at the fifth verse, what did Jesus do? It says, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, there was one that was on the lair, but there were four that were carrying him. You study your Bible and you go through your Bible, you find that the number five. What was it in David's little bag when he went out to face Goliath? He got five smooth stones. You see, the number five, it actually, and numerically in the Word of God, it represents faith. When Jesus saw their faith, the one that was sick and the four, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee."
Amen.
Well, you know, you go to the next point in this from verses 6 to 8. Guess what happens? The critics begin to speak. You see, the scribes were men of influence. They were recorders of the Word of God. Basically, they were part of the leadership of the known church at the time. And can I say this? It seems to me, here we are today, critics will never stop.
That's right.
There's going to be somebody, no matter what you do, you're not going to do it good enough.
Amen.
They're going to have something to say about it. Don't let them stop you.
Amen.
Don't let them cause you to quit. You know, I was over and y'all were cooking them hot dogs. I said, "I like mine burnt till it's black." And then you cook it again till it busts the second time.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, "Well, I don't like any of that on mine." You ever been out to eat with somebody that every time you go out to eat with them, every time you go, they send their food back? You know what I do with those kind of people? I try not to go. I don't know about you, but I've had my food cooked to where I didn't like it before. I've had steaks cooked to where I had to put a napkin up between my plate and my wife where she can't even look at it while I eat it. But what about a critic? Let me tell you something, folks. We're doing what we're doing for the honor and glory of God. When somebody volunteers to do something, rather than criticizing it, give them, thank God. Because if you want to complain about it, we got a job for you. You see, critics never stop. But here's what I want you to understand, Christians, neither can we. We can't stop because there are going to be those that are against us. The critics began to speak, and Jesus, he's hearing them, and he asked them a question. He said, well, what's easiest? Is it easier to forgive sins or to say, rise up and walk? You see, the man with the palsy, of course he was made whole. We know that Jesus said, rise and walk, and he was able to walk. But here's what I want you to understand, and if everybody could get a hold of this, it's like when we have prayer requests. You have prayer requests on Wednesday night, or you have a special request, and somebody's got something going on in their life. I want to tell you, the most important thing and the biggest concern that Jesus had is not the palsy. It's not your heart condition. It's not the conditions of your physical health. It's not the condition of your finances. It's not your relationships, your husband, your wife, your children, your in-laws, your outlaws, and all the troubles you have. It's not all your stuff, but the biggest concern is where are you at in your personal relationship with a living God? Because God could heal all of your diseases. He could solve all of your financial problems. He could give you everything that you ask for, and you would still be in want. Well, the first thing, well, he knew why he was there. But the man had greater needs. Sometimes people ask me about someone, they say, well, you know, how are they doing? I'll tell you what the biggest need anybody has. It's where are you at with God? Where are you at in your personal relationship with the living God? Well, we see the work, we see this story. I love this story. It's quite a story. But what does this scripture teach us? How should we apply it to our lives? Now, here's a question. I thought about this as I was studying it. Have you invited anybody to church this week? See, Jesus was in the house, and there were people coming, they were gathering, and there was more that need help. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but about Paulding County, per capita, has the least number of churches of any county in Georgia. Yeah, I mentioned just a little bit ago homeschooling, and folks, I believe there's a lot of people that are saved by the grace of God, but because of a mess, because of a problem, because of a bad pastor, because of the pastor running off with somebody else in the church, or the music director, or something happened, and because of the critics. How many people are not serving the Lord that know the Lord that are saved because the critics have created so many problems that they just don't trust? I first came to this church, and knowing some of the things, I understand that. I understand the lack of trust. That's why we need to make it about Jesus. But can I tell you, if we were just able to go out and get those people, bring them in, we'd have to build the house bigger. And if we do it because people are getting help, I don't care how big it gets. We can build it bigger, and we can build it bigger, and we can build it bigger. But can I tell you that there are people out there right now, just like that man, that just needed somebody to help him get to the house. See, have you invited anybody to church this week? And let's take it another step. Have you carried anybody to church this week? You know, we're trying to. If y'all know anybody that's looking for a bus, we got one for sale. We want to get a 16-passenger van so, you know, you don't have to have 2 college degrees and 3 government stamps to drive. Because it might be somebody that we can go get and bring to the house of God that may not be able to get here any other way. See, sometimes getting people to Jesus takes more than a simple invite. What did it take to get this man to Jesus? It was work. I want to give you just a couple of points about this because I want us to bring it right back to where we're at today. Folks, it's amazing that we're here. It's amazing. You see, I believe, and I've said this before, I mean, if you study the Word of God, you're a student of the Word of God, you've been in church your whole life, how many times have I heard people say, I believe the Lord's coming back in my lifetime? Can I tell you it's amazing that we're here? First thing I want you to understand, this is a time for recognition. You see, these people, they had to recognize the need of this brother. He needed to see and he needed to get to Jesus. But in order for this to happen, somebody had to lift him. Somebody had to help him. Somebody had to do something in his life. You know, there are people out there, what's going to happen to them if we don't lift them? If we don't help them? If we don't get them to where Jesus is at? God has not called me as a pastor of this church to be the police, to be anybody's judge, but to just preach the Word of God. And I believe when the Lord gets a hold of people, they'll change. But He's the one that's got to do the changing. Many people need to get to Jesus. Now, folks, we need to recognize that. We need to recognize the need. But can I tell you, we need to recognize the times. What time are we living in? What time is it? How much time do we have? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, that means cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Romans 13, verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So what time is it? Time for us to get busy, because Jesus is coming soon. You say, well, I've heard that all my life. I tell you what a person needs to do. They just need to stop. You know, sometimes I can sit down with some of the older folks in the church and you see it and you feel it. You remember when we didn't have air conditioners in church. Some of you can even remember taking a horse and buggy to church. Now, I know some of y'all young people, y'all don't believe that really happened, but it did. I remember going to church when the only plumbing we had was outside. We got a few of these little fans around here. Y'all probably got some. I can remember when that was the only air you got. But I can also remember going to those meetings, and you give an altar call and people got saved. They come to Jesus. Can I tell you, the Bible says in the book of Daniel that in the last days many will run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. You see, knowledge has been increased so much that we've forgotten about God. Amen. All that is a sign of the times telling us that we're in those last days. It's a time of recognition. We need to recognize where we're at. It's a time of motivation. We need to get motivated about the Lord. Now, I know you are. Sometimes people say, well, you know, and I hate to hear the stories, but things are changing. Can I tell you, we have what we have because of Him. It's not about us. See, you got to have a burden for the ones in need. You must see their need. And in seeing their need, you must be willing to help. You know, it could be local mission work. It could be foreign mission work. It could be helping the person right beside you. It could be the person on the pew with you. What has God called you to do? See, in James chapter 2, and starting in verse 13, it teaches us. It says, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and you say, depart in peace, be warmed, be filled, notwithstanding, you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is not dead. Can you imagine knocking on the door? And the palsied man, he can't get up, and he says, come on in. You walk in and there he is and he's in trouble and he says this to you, I heard that Jesus was over there in that house. I just need somebody to help me get to where he's at. And they look at him and say, well, God bless you, brother. We're going to pray for you. How many times you heard that? God bless you, brother. We're going to pray for you. How many times have you put your arm around somebody when they're hurting and the Holy Spirit tells you, you need to do a little bit more? Time for motivation. It's a time for cooperation. Can I tell you, if there's ever been a time in the house of God that we need to have unity, it's today. Today. See, Psalms 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I heard a pastor say one time, speaking along these lines, he said, this church is not like the last church you were at. You ought to be able to say, this pastor is not like the last pastor that you had. This congregation is not like the last congregation you were in. But you know, if it's going to stay that way, we're going to have to walk in unity. Because you can turn from brother to critic just like that. I've seen people argue over stuff. To me, it blows my mind. But I was in church one time, and they painted the nursery. And it had this bland color. And they went in there, and the walls were lavender. And they had a bunny on this wall. And they had a bear on this wall. And they had another little character over here, and somebody had spent a lot of time. And I just heard him as I walked by, one of the deacons, here's what he said, that's not an approved color. Brother to critic, just like that. We got to come together, cooperate for the honor and glory of God. See, it's time to recognize what's really important. Sometimes people argue about stuff. I've learned this being married for nearly 30 years. Brother Tommy, I love my wife, but I want to tell you, I used to get myself in trouble. Hey, some things just ain't worth fighting about, is it, honey? If we would realize that and recognize we're doing what we're doing for the honor and glory of God. Now look at this scripture in the third verse. It says, if they come to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Can I tell you, in some places it's hard to get four people to agree. Yes. One say, I want that corner. One say, I want this corner. One say, we going in this door. Another say, we going in that door. They had to come together. Can I tell you that you and I are going to have to come together and we need to be watchful of the enemy. We need to be aware that the devil is against us. We need to understand that what we're doing for the Lord is for the Lord and it's not about us. And I want to tell you, there's no telling what we can do for God if we do not care who gets the credit. It's His. It's also a time for action. What does that mean? That means do something. I've heard people say, well, I can't do what so-and-so says. Even this, God might be calling you, and I hope He does. I hope God calls somebody out of this church. You know, Brother Allen's ordained. It's time for somebody else to stand up and say, God called me. I was at Martin's yesterday having the breakfast special. And I walked in there, and there was a little girl sitting there. I didn't hardly recognize her. She's about a year younger than my daughter, and she spoke to me. I'm surprised she recognized me. And I walked over to the table, and she had a little child there and her husband, and I began to talk to him. Boy's name was Matthew, about 25 years old, and he got ordained yesterday in the ministry. Amen. Now, folks, that's a praise. Amen. He's going to be pastoring a church down in Fayetteville. I'm familiar with the church. I know some of the people. And I knew him, but it's kind of like this. Last time I saw him, he was like this. As I began to talk to him, and I told him, I said, I thank God that God called you. I thank God that somebody's answering the call. And you say, well, I can't do anything. I don't know anything. Do you know what the Bible says about Paul? Said when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he went over there to Ananias' house, He said when he come out of there, immediately he preached the word of God. What do you tell them? You tell them what you know. You tell them what God did for you. You don't have to have every answer. You can tell them, I met Jesus and he changed my life. Do something. Get past the press. Don't let the crowd discourage you. Don't let the naysayers stop you. Don't let those without a vision stifle you. Don't let them put out your fire. You ever felt like you was at that? You was on fire for the Lord and all of a sudden somebody just wants to pour cold water on you. These young people come back from camp. I want to pour gasoline on them. I don't want to put water on them. I want them to go. And when they go, you know, here's the thing to understand. I'm going to hurry here. Sunday school teachers, there may be a missionary in your Sunday school class. There may be a pastor in your Sunday school class. There may be somebody that God is going to use in a good way. And what we ought to do, here's what happens sometimes. We see God doing something that's almost like this. We ought to get under them and push them up. To get them to the point that God could use them. You see, sometimes doing the work of God is work. Sometimes you got to tear the roof off. And that's what they had to do to help people get what they need. And here's the last point. All of this, what happened? It became a time for celebration. And I tell you that there's rejoicing in the kingdom of God over one that comes to Christ. When people get saved by the grace of God, there's rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven. Now, folks, we've seen miracles in this church. We've seen people cured of cancer. We've seen people that I went and prayed for. I told my wife one time we were in the ICU, and I said, without the hand of God touching this person, they'll never walk out of this hospital. We got miracles in here, don't we, Miss Tippins? We've seen God move in mighty ways. We've seen God touch our music director. We've seen God move in this church. But I tell you, they don't rejoice in heaven when people are healed because they know that Jesus could speak the word in every person. But here's the difference. You're going to get what you really need from God. It's not just going to be Him. You're going to have to take a step. You see, what a time. A time for celebration. Matthew chapter 18 says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains, and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which go not astray. See, here's the thing to understand about a church. I want you to feel welcome. You're welcome. The altars are always open. Lord willing, we ever do get to build, here's one request. I want bigger altars. You know, we've already took the rails down and extended them around. When the altars are open, you really can come and talk to the Lord. You see? And this church is the kind of church that when people get saved, we celebrate. When people come to pray, we pray with them. When people's lives are changed, we rejoice. I was talking to somebody this week, and they was talking about being in the church and having trouble and not coming back. You know, there's been more than one have problems. Problems in their life, problems in their home. And they say, well, people know about it. I'm embarrassed. I don't think they'll really love me like they used to. But I'll tell you something, church. If they knew you, they wouldn't say that. If they knew the Lord, they wouldn't say that. So we give this invitation in just a minute. If God spoke to your heart, let me tell you where the celebration's at. Celebration's in being in the house of God. Number one, somebody getting saved. Number two, somebody getting that peace that they need with God and growing with the Lord. So I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus is in the house. Maybe you need to get to where he's at. Ask if you would to rise to your feet as they get ready to play a song.